As the Wags approached the outcrop, Carell picked up the radio transmitter in front of him and patched into the other Wags in the convoy, ordering them into the positions they had seen sketched on the map back at the redoubt. His voice was firm and clear, with no indication of the catharsis he had been through just a few minutes before. Ryan and Christie sat in the wag and observed in silence. There was no way they could communicate their concerns to each other, let alone to their comrades and the other wags. All they could do was sit tight and wait for the opening to occur. Carell drove the leading wag through the gap in the outcrop and into what would soon be the arena for the final battle.
No sign of the trade cowboys yet.
Making good time, then.
What did you expect?
The desert was pretty bad in places, so much mud, dust, and quicksand. Could have delayed us.
Could have delayed them, too.
If they've actually set off, we have no way of knowing for sure.
They will have. They've got no choice. It's this or a long, hard chill for both of them.
Carell drove his wag to the center of the dust bowl that was in front of the outcrop, then veered to the left, taking the wide load through a gap that was so narrow it almost scraped the paint from the side of the wag. As he took this path, the second wag, driven by JB, went a little farther on and then took a right fork, finding its shelter behind another gap in the rock wall. Two wags followed each lead into the natural channels cut into the rock.
That's their big mistake, Jorgensen and Hutter. They haven't done their research properly. They'll have their cyclic guy for something at each end, but they don't know about these channels. They won't know that we're hidden, waiting to circle around and take them out.
Ryan looked out of the side window on the wag door. The gap in the outcrop was barely wide enough to pilot a wag through, but if taken with care, it could be achieved. They were approximately halfway along the length of the arena, with the rock channel twisting in front of them and leading back out at an oblique angle to the main track the trade wags would be taking. From the approach, that exit was well hidden, and it would be easy for the Hellbender's wags to slip out and circle around to close off the entrances. In the heat of a firefight, these channels would be the only other avenues of escape, and Carell had plans to seal them off. He picked up the handset.
JB, you got the packages?
Yeah.
Okay, you and Jenny get them delivered. You got the remotes?
Yeah, hand tested. The signals are fine, just got to prime them.
Okay.
Christie felt a cold shiver run through her as she caught the gleam in Carell's eyes. This was the culmination of his plans, and he was relishing every moment.
Let's do it!
The Hellbenders sprang into action. JB and Jenny left their wag to plant Plasex charges at the mouth of the rock channels, which they would set off with remote detonators. JB jogged back to the entrance to the channel and began to climb the rocks, searching for handholds and testing them before supporting his weight and hauling himself up to a point where the rock had a deep crevice. He took the charge from his bag and punched in the detonator code. The lights on the digital display of the small device flashed the code back at him, then settled into one small, red blinking light. This achieved, he secured its place in the crevice and scrambled back down. While he did this, Jenny had sprinted across the length of the arena toward the opposite channel opening and had started to climb, searching for hand and footholds as she went. She quickly scaled the channel wall, finding a ledge on which to place her charge. It wasn't a true crevice, so she had to secure the Plasex with adhesive tape, hoping that it would be enough to keep it in place until the charge was detonated. She punched in the set code, checked that the single red light was flashing, and then quickly descended. She sprinted across the arena to return to her wag. Meanwhile, other preparations were taking place. Although the desert floor outside the outcrop was too disturbed by the chem storm and too pitted and scarred to show any giveaway wag tracks, inside the arena, the surface of the earth was relatively smooth and undisturbed, so any recent wag tracks would be all too visible. Carell had ordered that some of his people would leave their wags and, using brushes they had brought with them from the redoubt, would clear the surface of any tracks. Led by Rudy, 10 Hellbenders set to scouring the arena surface, their ears bent toward the sound of distant wags. The Hellbenders worked hard, and in a surprisingly short time had completed their task, working from the center out toward the sides of the arena, brushing and raking themselves clear back to the channel openings on each side, enabling them to return to their wags without leaving any sign of their passing.
Everybody back?
Present and accounted for.
Good work, people. Fate is truly on our side.
So what now?
The gaunt man fixed her with a stare, that had the lust of battle, mixed with a strange glow of something that resembled contentment.
We wait, of course.